Thank you for choosing Dwelling Place City Church Podcast.
Looking for in America right now. There's chaos in the streets. There's chaos everywhere. And what they're looking for is something that makes sense. They're looking for something that they can apply to their lives. And they finally figured out it's not politics. And it's not government. It is a government, but it's not the governments of man. It's the peace of God that, what did it say? Rules your heart. And so, are you ready for a mystery today? Turn to your neighbor and say, are you ready for a mystery? Okay, here we go. God is a mystery. Big revelation, huh? But he says, seek the kingdom of God. And he tells us to seek the kingdom of God. But if the kingdom of God is a mystery because it's not out here. It's on the inside. Now stay with me for a little bit because I'm just trying to get to someplace here this morning. The new birth, when you're born again. How many of you are born again? Okay. No, you can't explain that to anybody. Have you tried? How many of you know it's kind of like right over their head? Why? Because it's a spiritual kingdom, like the kingdom of God. Being born again is something that you have to experience. And the new birth, listen to what I'm going to say. Being born again, the offer that Jesus made for us to be born again, is God's invitation for us to live in the mysteries of eternity. Being born again is a mystery. And it's an invitation of God to live in the mysterious side of the kingdom of God. That once you know him, it's no longer a mystery. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, you look here, you look there, you can look everywhere, but you're not going to find it because the kingdom of God is where? In you. It has to be born inside you. It's a mystery because it's God's invitation to live with eternity in this life. It's a mystery because it's on the inside of us. And so when you and I try to relate the kingdom of God to other people, right over their head. Because if you try to explain the kingdom of God in a cerebral way, it's not going to work. It has to be experienced. It has to be encountered. A mystery is something that's hidden. And Jesus said, I've hidden it. I've hidden it from the wise and from the prudent and from the smart alecks and the people that think they know everything. But he said, from anybody who's willing to humble themselves and say, listen, if you really are true, prove it. How many of you know God just goes, bring it on. Just bring it on. I dare you. Just bring it on, man. I'll show up on you like. Anyway, okay. So Mark chapter 4, verse 11 says this. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries. He wants you to know the mysteries. He wants you to know them. Watch what he says. Mysteries of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all things are done in parables. So in other words, he wants you and I. He wants everybody to know the mysteries. And he wants you to know the mysteries of the kingdom because the kingdom of God is a mystery because, listen to what I'm going to say now, the kingdom of God is a mystery because God's a mystery. Oh, you're not really quiet. Is he a mystery? Have you figured him out? Will you? It ain't going to happen, right? If you figured out God, you got the wrong one. Come on. And so we understand that the mystery is something that's hidden, and the kingdom of God is a mystery because God is a mystery, and you can't understand it or everything about it because God is. Now, can I use a dangerous word? Do it. Susan said, do it. That's permission. Here we go. If the wife says go, you go, okay? God is metaphysical. I heard your ears go, meep. Wait a minute, God's not metaphysical. Well, no, not in the worldly sense, but he's metaphysical because metaphysical means to transcend physical matters and physical laws. If you try to understand God just in the natural, it won't work. You know why? It's called religion. Religion is Jesus from here up. The kingdom of God is Jesus from here down. Does that make sense? So when we're trying to explain Jesus to people in a world that's totally out of control, a nation that's spinning out of control, how do we communicate to Jesus, to people that are so angry and so mad and so frustrated? You can't do it in a cerebral conversation. You can't explain. So that means you and I need to understand the metaphysical side of God. And that means, you know, I know some people are going to go, oh, no, he's talking about the cult, you know, and not that kind of. We're not talking about astral projection and chanting until your brains turn to pudding, you know. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about an actual relationship with the living God while your brain is attached. Okay? Now, you've heard me say this so many times, you're going to go, oh, God, here he goes again. Okay. God is outside of time and space. God knows no time. I used to do a sermon, some of you remember it. I haven't done it in a long time. God does not wear a watch. And he doesn't have a calendar in his office. Why? Because he is Alpha and Omega. He's the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. You can't go any place where he isn't there. So you understand that. You know, he's outside of time and distance and space. He is so big. Let me give you some pictures here. Show them the first one. That's a picture from the Hubble telescope. And that's the Hubble telescope way out into the universe. Okay, next picture. That is, go to the first picture. One of those big dots, see those big dots? Those big bright dots? They look like this when you get closer. And one of these, next picture, is one of these way out there. It's called Earth. The Hubble telescope, to just give you an idea, let's walk through this for a second. Just stay with me. I'm not trying to get scientific, but I'm trying to be practical about the mystical side of the presence of God. Because you believe in something you have never seen. Well, maybe some of you have. Okay, but you understand what I'm after. So let's do it this way. That is so far away, I want you to get the image of how big God is. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. Got that? That means in 1 hour, light travels 670 million miles in 1 hour, 5,878.8 billion miles a year. In 72 years, which is my lifetime, that means light travels 5,865,696,000. I mean, come on. God is so big that not even the universe is big enough to describe him. And here's the mystery. He lives in you. I mean, it gets your head spinning. Now, I'm not trying to be spooky, but I want you to understand because God is metaphysical. He is beyond the physical, but he involves himself in the physical. And here's the scary part about this whole thing. evil, which is spiritual and knows this truth, plays a trick on Christians. Evil, I'm going to call religion, plays a trick on Christians and tells them that once they are born again from within, it convinces them to believe that anything mysterious about God is dangerous. As soon as you tell people that God is about to move in a supernatural way, what do the religious people do? They get nervous. Wait a minute, you're going to speak in tongues? Are you going to do something I don't understand? If God shows up, you ain't going to be able to figure it out. Oh, that you're really quiet. Do we need to go to Starbucks this morning? Okay. So you understand this. You understand that being born again is what took place on the inside of us. That the God of creation invaded your soul. Now, not all of God, but as much as you can let him take and give. And so, listen to what he says, John 3:3. Listen to what he says, John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, this is Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That's amazing. You know what being born again is? It's God's invitation to know him personally. It's God's invitation for the kingdom to invade us and become real inside us. Now, I know this is not the typical sermon. This is not the typical message. But we're not living in a typical world. And something's got to happen to us. Give me the rest of John 3 through 8. Give me this, verse 4. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born again? Go, keep flipping. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Follow on. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not. Listen to what he's saying. Bob, he says to us today, marvel not, I say unto thee, you must be born again. Unless you're born again, all the religion of the world is going to do is leave you with a vacuum. Because religion can't fill the vacuum on the inside of you. And in case you don't know, and I know most of you do, inside every one of us is a vacancy. And it belongs only to God. So watch what he says. So that everyone that is born of the Spirit, watch this. The wind blows where it listeth, and harvest, heareth the sound thereof, but you cannot tell whence it comes and whither it goes. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. So in other words, we're facing the fact that I can't know everything. To really know God is to admit that you can't know everything about him. He is so mystical and so big and so outrageous and so loving and so kind, you can never know it all. There is more of him than there'll ever be enough room in you. And when you begin to embrace this, you understand that the fact that I cannot know everything about God. You can't know everything about God. And so that means you're going to have to be willing to live your life with some mystery. Man, you are quiet. Okay? When the kingdom of God is born again on the inside of us, it means the inside of us is bigger than the outside of us. What does that mean? That means Eternity invaded your soul. And when we're talking to people, we're not trying to explain God, because that's not doable. We're trying to say to them, Jesus, give myself a headache. No matter how much you try to tell people about Jesus, the only thing you can do is bring them to the place where they honestly are willing to ask, if he's real, prove it. That's the mission of the church, to cause people to watch us live in the mystery of the fullness of the presence of God, and then look at us and go, what makes you tick? Isn't that it? To cause people to realize that we're so full of peace, we're so full of the presence of God, that when the kingdom of God is born again inside us, it means the outside is smaller than the inside. And I can draw in the midst of a crisis and a chaos and the garbage that's going on in our country and finally figure out the answer is not political. And it's not even government. It's right here. It's right here. And when people see that in you, that's what they look at and they go, I want to know that. You've heard me tell this before. I had when I first accepted the Lord, I worked in the engineering department while I was working with Melody Land, working in the engineering department at Downey Park Water Company. And in the engineering department, and Susan knows this, I would go in and sit down at my, we had drafting boards at the time, big T-squares and the whole nine yards. I sit down in the engineering department, and Mike, guy on the other side of me, his desk was faced that way and mine faced that way. And there were two other desks, there were four of us in the engineering. And he would torment me. Because I was born again. He just couldn't figure me out. And he used to make my life miserable. And one day I made a major goof on a drawing. And he spotted it. And it was a mechanical goof. And I miscalculated something. So he calls the head of engineering in and he says, come, I want you to see how inept Bob is. And he says, look what he did. He miscalculated that. And, it was really embarrassing, and it put me in a very untenable spot. And so I was miserable. But you know what? I was bound and determined I was not going to treat him the way the world would treat him. I was bound and determined I was going to be nice to him no matter how ugly he got. And believe me, he got ugly enough for me to kill him. But I didn't, obviously. I finally resigned Park Water Company, and I was already on staff with Melody Land, and I was holding two jobs, working at Disneyland at night and this water company during the day, and spending all night shifts with Melody Land. And I had my very first sermon, chance to preach my first sermon. And I was scared spitless, I'm in Melody Land, I'm going to die in public here. And I don't even remember what I preached. Okay, I preached. And the platform was about this high, right? It was about this high. And I said, so if anyone here wants to give your life to Jesus, we're going to pray. And you just come up while I'm praying. And so I bowed my head and I started to pray. And the only thing I could think of is, God, how am I going to get over the embarrassment of nobody responding? And so I got to the end of the prayer and I looked up. There was one person standing there, and it was Mike. No, it didn't go right, because I looked at him and went, Mike, what are you doing here? It's kind of like, wrong response, Robert. But later on, he said, you know what? You drove me crazy. You drove me crazy because I knew you had something. And I couldn't figure it out. I could not figure it out. And I finally realized after you left, when you left the department, something went with you. It wasn't the same department. And he said, I know I made your life miserable. But I could tell that you had something I didn't have. And I couldn't goad you. I couldn't get you to go off on me and to hate me. I would have loved it. And so I say to you that the kingdom of God is a mystery. And the only way that we can share it with loved ones and relatives and friends is love them and share life with them and express life to people and let them know that we love them and care for them. And, you know, I can get up here and I can pontificate and I can exegete verses and tell you, you know, conjugate verbs and give you the Greek and the Hebrew and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes we just have to go back to the basics. Just go back to the simplicity of the gospel. John 17, verse 1 through 5, he said this. These words spake Jesus, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son might also glorify thee. Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And he gives eternity to us. Verse 4, skip to verse 4. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. And now, O Father, I glorify thee with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world began. Jesus brought eternity into this world. And that's why I keep saying for you, year after year after year, you are bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. And if you lean on the world and you watch what's going on around you, you will end up in chaos and frustration and confusion. If all you watch is the news, you will end up being the news. And everybody that's not watching the news said, I know Susan was silent during that one. Okay. So God is outside the space and the time continuum, and evil plays a trick on you and on me and on other people and tells us, listen, you know, you can't understand everything about God. That's the only truth the devil knows, because it's true. You can't understand everything about God. And the bridge between, here's the problem. We get born again and we go to church and we get religion. And we miss the kingdom. The Holy Spirit is the bridge between this world and the kingdom of God. Why did Jesus send them to Pentecost after he already breathed on them in the upper room the night he was resurrected? Why? Because being born again, listen to what I'm going to say. Oh, I'm going to go theological jail. I know I'm going to get letters on this one. Okay. Being born again isn't enough. I can hear people going, wait a minute, I thought you had to be born again to go to heaven. Yeah, you can go to heaven. You're going to live in hell on the way. Why did he send the disciples to Pentecost? Because he was going to expose them to the fullness of the kingdom of God on the inside. Oh. The spirit's eternal. The physical is temporal. The inside of you is bigger than the outside of you. And you know, David Michael, who's a personal friend, matter of fact, son of Dick Mills, who was my mentor for years, for four decades, really. Precious man of God. Precious, precious man of God. But David Michael said something, his son, that just stuck with me. And I wrote it down. I wrote it down as a side note this morning. It says, Jesus, remember on the night that Jesus was resurrected, he showed up in the upper room? Do you remember that? Come on, help me. Did you remember that? Okay, how did he get in the room? He walked through the walls. It's very specific. It says the doors and the windows were locked. Why? Because the people on the inside, the disciples and his followers were on the inside of the room, locked in. Why were they locked in? Because they were afraid of what was going on in the streets. Come on. They were afraid of what's going on in whatever that city's name is, and all the other cities that are going on, and the craziness that's going on in the world. And so what did Jesus do? He walked into a room totally locked up. Now, this is what David said, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. Jesus walked through walls not because the walls weren't real, but because he was more real than the walls. Did you get that? David, if you're watching this, brother, you smoked it, man. That Jesus walked through the walls because Jesus is more real than what's going on around us. That you can try to defend yourself and protect yourself from all that's going on and around the world when God is saying, I don't want you to defend yourself. I don't want you to bunker yourself. I want you to get out of the room and into the streets and let everybody know everything from the housetop. Tell them all. Make it clear to everybody. So we understand that the Holy Ghost is the one who makes the kingdom real to us. And I just encourage you today in this very different message to try to encourage you so when you leave here today, if you're watching by Facebook, you realize that when there's chaos in the world all around you, that you are bigger on the inside. Paul said this in Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of the power to establish you, say I'm a you, according to my gospel and to the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. There it is. Which is kept since the secret, since the world began. The mystery is Christ in you. Jesus in you. And that he's now real inside of you. And he wants to be even more real. And when you sit down with your checkbook and you start going, man, there are more, you know, this ain't going right. What do you do? When your children aren't getting the proper education because the school system's shut down. And by the way, this is a chance to say if they go to the public school system, they're not going to get a decent education anyway. And if you're a public school teacher, I admire you. Because you are standing on the front lines. Do you know why most of the craziness is going on in the streets of our communities right now? Listen to what I'm going to say. I didn't plan on going here, but it's too late. You know why the craziness? You watch the majority of the people on the streets that are rioting right now are people who have come through an educational system where they don't even understand how to reason, much less know the history of their nation. They don't know. They're pulling down statues and they don't even know what they represent. And don't get me wrong. There's plenty of wrong. But, oh my goodness, I've stuck my foot in it, baby. She's looking at me like, you're in it, you get out of it. Okay. 1 Corinthians, I'll finish with this. 2:7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. The wisdom of God is to understand that he loves you so much. He loves you past all the craziness. And he loves you deep down on the inside. And he wants to give you a peace that passes understanding. That doesn't make you brain dead. But it gives you the ability to think clear while everything else around you is going crazy and is out of control. That you be able to admit, man, this stirs me on the inside. Oh, baby. No, I'm not going to go there. But I do want to say this. Last week I jumped off the stage and everybody went out. Okay. God loves you with a love that's absolutely impossible to explain. And the only way you can know it is to experience it. And it means to be filled with the fullness of his presence, to let the mystery invade your life. You're not going to have all the answers. And even if you had all the answers, you and I wouldn't know what to do with them. That you understand that it's personal and it's relational and it's palpable and it's tangible. And he loves you with an everlasting love. And he filled you with his fullness. Paul said in Ephesians, Christ was filled with all the fullness of God. Does that mean all of God was in Jesus? Listen to what I'm going to say. No. You couldn't take all of God and stuff it in Jesus. You know why? Because there'd be no universe. But it says Jesus was full of God. And he said to you, I want to fill you with my presence. Are you ever going to be perfectly full? Absolutely not. But you know what? There's hope for you. There's hope for me in a world that's spinning out of control. You are good people. You are God-fearing people. And the only thing I ask of you is that you don't lose your heart in the middle of this. You find the presence of God. Third and final closing. Okay? This ain't gonna get better until it gets worse. If you're waiting for the Lord to just go snap his fingers and make all this get better, that's not going to happen, friend. And you know what? I hope I'm wrong. But in my heart, I know I'm not. You need to bunker in terms of him being inside of you. And you need to know him in a very personal, intimate way. If you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you need to get baptized again. If you haven't been baptized in water, we have water baptism coming up here in another couple of weeks. You need to get baptized in water. If you were baptized in water when you were young, we'll rebaptize you. It's come to a renewal of your faith. Find a place inside you where there's courage. Find a place inside you when you walk out of here and you go out of there and there's craziness. You know, you just understand that he loves you with so much love. Somebody like me, I want to communicate, but I'm in a place where I'm trying to talk about something. I don't even know how to communicate this. All I know is you can experience it. And if you feel a void on the inside of you this morning, all I want you to do in a moment is I want to pray. And then once I pray and say amen, if you want, you just come up here. We just want to touch you. It's not that Pastor Susan and I have everything for you. That's not. But we just want to, we're not going to. We just want to touch you and impart something to you. Impart some hope. Impart some courage. Impart some faith. Father, I thank you for your presence. And Father, I thank you that you are so mysterious that when we start talking about who you are and really are, we get lost. We just get lost because we don't even know how to explain you. We can't even explain you to ourselves. But we can experience you. And we can know you in your fullness. And I pray that you give us the faith today and the courage today to go out here and face life and face the world with the confidence that you on the inside of us are bigger than anything in this world. And your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness and your love. And help us win as many people as we possibly can. Because Jesus, I got a feeling you really are coming back. And you really are coming back quick. And the tragedy will be all the people, all the mics in life that are hungry to know. They just need a mystery lived in front of them. All the mics that need to see people live a mystery and make it real. And we thank you for that privilege. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said. Here's what I'm going to ask you.